ಶ್ರೀಲ ಭಕ್ತಿವಿನೋದ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಇಸ್ ಒನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವೆರಿ ಪ್ರಾಮಿನೆಂಟ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯರ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಡಿಸೈಪ್ಲಿಕ್ ಸಕ್ಸೆಷನ್. He is considered the root of the modern day Gaudiya line. It is from him that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur drew knowledge, guidance and inspiration to perform his large scale work of preaching and spreading the movement, the Sankirtan movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur represents this potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a tremendously empowered acharya. He wrote over 100 books, mostly on Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Some of his earlier works, especially at the time before he had externally manifested his devotion, were of a general nature, like that famous poem called the Puriyad on King Porus that he wrote at the time of King Alexander's invasion of India. And such works also, when he was manifesting his pastimes as a student of English literature and various other, he was pursuing other scholastic pursuits. His pranam mantra is Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate. He is Satchidananda Bhakti Vinod Thakur, a title that was given to him when he was in his mid-40s by the Gaudiya Goswami Sangha because of his contributions to the Gaudiya movement, especially after he had composed his Chaitanya Gita and he had also started preaching very actively in various parts of the country, wherever he was traveling, in Orissa, in what is modern-day Bengal, and also modern-day Bangladesh, even what is modern-day Tripura. So in the eastern regions of the country, he traveled widely according to the needs of his profession. And wherever he went, he not only deeply studied the literatures of the Vaishnava Acharyas, but also extensively spoke and preached. He is referred to as Gaura Shakti Swarupaya. He is the embodiment or the personification of the Shakti of Gaura Swarupa, of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And therefore it is appropriate that he also appeared in this world on the day that also the Shakti of the Lord, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, appeared in this world. He is also called Rupanuga Vara. Rupanuga Varayate. Vara means the best. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is considered the foremost among the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. We are called the Rupanugas, the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. That is our identification. And Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has been glorified as being the foremost amongst all the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, in his various writings and compositions, has personally revealed his own identity in the spiritual world. Acharyas like Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur are not ordinary devotees. Of course, even a devotee is not an ordinary person. But Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur and acharyas like him are not even ordinary devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an eternal associate of the Lord who descended into this material plane for the sake of spreading the message of the Lord, for reviving the Sankirtana movement. It is said that after the disappearance of the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, namely the six Goswamis, and then subsequently Srinivas Acharya, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu, there was a dark age where the principles and siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism were obscured. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his preface to his father's great work, the Jaiva Dharma, he says that at this time, the entire Vaishnava world, or the entire world in fact, was covered by the dark clouds of sense gratification, voidism and impersonal philosophy. And hardly could you see any illumination coming from the bright sun of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. One by one, those individual stars and luminaries in the celestial firmament of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement had gone away from the terrestrial plane. And there was only darkness. Only rarely did we have some acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Baladev Vidya Bhushan who came in the intervening period. But largely speaking, it was a heyday for all the upper sampradayas, those heretic sects that deviated from the original pristine teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and which concocted their own ideas. There are 13 primary upper sampradayas that have been identified, like the Kartabharas, the Sakhabekis, Prakrita Sahajiyas, Aulas, Baulas, and so on, the Jata Gosais. So they were ruling the roost. And because of this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement had got a very bad name among the elite educated and cultured classes of society, because the members of these upper sampradayas behaved very badly and they often indulged in immoral and illicit activities in the name of Vaishnavism. So the word Vaishnava or Vaishnavism had become a bad word in those days. And therefore the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally dispatched to this plane his own associate to once again revive his movement, to spread the Sankirtan movement, to re-establish the original teachings of the Lord. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur came and just did that as an empowered preacher. Although in his early days he did not manifest externally that devotion, but from his own works we understand his true identity. In the Kalyana Kalpataru, his collection of poems, he writes, Yugala Sevaya Sri Rasa Mandala Niyukta Koro Amaye Lalita Sakhir Ayogya Kinkari Vinoda Dhore Chepaye. He says, O Lord, clutching your lotus feet, I beg that I may be allowed entrance into the Sri Rasa Mandala, the circle of the Rasa dance, so that I can serve the dual couple, Radha Krishna, Yugala Sevaya, Niyakta Koro Amai. So please appoint me to that service. Give me entrance into that circle of the Rasa dance. I am Lalita Sakhir Ayogya Kinkari. I am the most unqualified maidservant of Lalita Sakhi. So in this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has identified himself as a manjari or a gopi in the circle of Lalita Sakhi. Lalita Sakhi is of course the principal gopi friend of Srimati Radharani in Goloka Vrindavan. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur has identified himself as one in Lalita Sakhi's group, and out of humility says he is the unqualified servant of Lalita Sakhi. Further on, in the Gita Mala, in the bhajan Siddhi Lalasa, he further describes his own identity in more detail. Varane tarit vasa taravali kamala manjari nama shale baro varsha vayasa satata shananda sukhada dhama. He says that my name is Kamala Manjari. So in his eternal form he is a manjari. Manjaris are those who are assistants to the sakhis, to the gopis. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur is Kamala Manjari in the spiritual world, in Lalita Sakhi's group. Varane Tarit Vasa Taravali, he has a dress, or rather she has a dress, a sari, which is of the color of lightning, golden color like lightning, Taravali, and it is, the cloth is like the night sky illuminated by all the stars. So it looks very shining and beautiful. And he is, it or she is, eternally 12 and a half years old in that form. That is the eternal form. And the place where she resides, that kunja, is called Swananda Sukhada Kunja. In fact, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur here also, he named his place that he constructed as Swananda Sukhada Kunja, following his eternal identity in the spiritual world. So when he built his home in Godrum Dvipa, in Navadvip Dham, he also called his abode like that. So we can understand who Bhakti Vinod Thakur really is. His ancestors came from the Kayastha community. There was a king called Adishura who ruled Bengal about 15 generations before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he invited many Brahmanas and upper caste people to come from various parts of the country, especially the northern parts of the country. He invited them to come into Bengal. And there was also many Kayasthas that came in along with the Brahmanas. And 15 generations down the line, there was a gentleman called Krishnananda Datta, who was also a devotee of Lord Krishna. He was a contemporary of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And 350 years after that, in the same line as Krishnananda Datta, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur appeared. His father's name was Ananda Chandra Datta and his mother's name was Jagan Mohini Devi. And they were the most fortunate parents of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He appeared in 1858 and he was named Kedarnath. Even as a young child, he was a prodigy. He learned everything very, very quickly. He composed his first poem at the age of 2. And by the age of 6, he had thoroughly mastered all the detailed facts of the historical epics like the Ramayana and the Mahabharata and everything. He knew about all the characters, he knew all the pastimes, he knew how these characters were related, what happened at what time in the epics. He knew all this simply at the age of 6. At the age of 9, he had already begun doing research into astrology, which he gave up after 1 year. At the age of 10, he had started trying to understand spiritual truths. Of course, these are all pastimes, because the eternal associates, when they come into the human society, they also imitate the ways of the human society, just so that their pastimes can become more credible in the eyes of the people at large. And then he started inquiring into the purpose of life and even at that tender age would enter into discussions of a philosophical and spiritual nature with adults who were astonished at the way he would question them and the way he would sometimes refute their arguments if they were atheistic. And he would often come to the conclusion, bring it to the conclusion that there is a God and the God is a person. He would visit various temples around his house, and in his own autobiography he has revealed some very wonderful incidents from his childhood which we generally don't hear about, so I would like to share a few of those pastimes of his childhood before coming to some of the more well-known pastimes. There was a brahmachari, tantric, who would stay near his house in a temple. And sometimes the child Kedarnath would visit, and he would participate and he would keenly observe what was going on there. This tantric would have some fire sacrifices and he would mumble so many mantras, and young Kedarnath could never really understand. But his brahmachari tantric was always surrounded by some shroud of mystery around him, like most tantrics are. And he was living there surrounded by his followers. And he went there one time in his inner rooms, because he had heard that this tantric was worshipping a human, he was doing some activities with a human skull. And he had heard whispers and rumors around from his friends and the adults that if someone fed milk and water to that skull, then the skull would smile. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur reminisces in his autobiography that as a child, I also went quietly to that human skull and I fed him milk and water, but he never smiled at me. So in this way, as an innocent child, very inquisitive child, he was going around trying to find out so many things. One time, just before the Durga Puja festival, there was a carpenter who was assigned to make the backdrops to the pandal. And he would spend a lot of time with the carpenter as he was busy with his work. And he saw this carpenter was busy giving the final touches to the image of Durga. And he asked him that this is an image, so when does the form of, when does God actually enter into this? So the carpenter replied, at the time when the eyes are painted, at that time God enters inside. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur then saw the painting and he said, I didn't see the God entering into the form of Durga. He says, well, actually it is said that when the Brahmins consecrate the deity at the Pran Pratishtha time, that is when the Lord actually enters. So then young Kedarnath keenly observed the consecration festival. And he came back to the carpenter and said, well, I never saw it, God entering even at this time. So then finally, understanding the carpenter to be a wise man somehow, he still went to the carpenter's house this time and inquired from him. And the carpenter said, look, I'll tell you the truth. I don't believe the mumbo jumbo of these brahmanas. Actually, I only believe in one God, Parameshwar. I don't believe in all these multiplicity of gods and goddesses. And I only worship the one Supreme Lord. And Kedarnath was very happy to hear that. He was overjoyed. And then he associated with one Muslim footman whose name was Ghulam Khan. And he started asking him so many questions about God. He asked him about how the world was created. And who is God? And Ghulam Khan replied that the word, the God is called Khuda, and that God made a pancake, and from the bottom of the pancake came the earth, from the top of the pancake came the sky, and then the Lord made all the human beings. The first human beings were Adam and Eve. And then upon being questioned deeply, then he said, well, Ram and Rahim, they're both one. There is only one God. Kedarnath was questioning him about ghosts. And he said, when you chant the name of the Lord, then there is no scope for Satan or any ghost to come in. So young Kedarnath was very happy. he says in his autobiography, to hear these wonderful statements from this Muslim who understood also that at least the basic principles that there is only one God. He had a maternal uncle who was studying law. Although initially he was a kind of a theist, but later on he became influenced by certain fashionable philosophies that had been propagated by some of the so-called scholars and learned people at that time, like Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar, Raja Ram Mohan Roy, who were considered very, very great reformists. But actually from the Vaishnava point of view, they were not reformists. They were ones who actually, they took the human society in the opposite direction, because they propagated monism or atheism and so on. So in spite of being thoroughly confused by his uncle, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I never stopped chanting the name of Ram. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur acknowledges that even as a child he was constantly chanting the holy names, and he never let all these other opposing ideologies disturb his faith. When he was only 11 years old, his father left this world, and at the age of 12 his mother had him married. His wife was only 5 years old at that time. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur remembers that for his wedding a nanny had to accompany him. You see, in Bengal many times the marriage takes place in the girl's house. You have to go first there. In some places in India the marriage takes place in the bridegroom's house, and in some parts of the country in the bride's house. So in Bengal it takes place in the bride's house. So in order to be accompanied there, the mother sent a nanny with him because he was too young to go all the way there. But he didn't protest at this practice that he was married at 12 years and his wife was only 5 years old at that time. His education, of course, had begun at the age of 6, his formal education. He went to the Sanskrit school of Vachaspati Vidyapati, and he learned Sanskrit there very quickly. And at 7 years, he was admitted to the Krishnanagar College. And thereafter, he just went on from strength to strength. He was a brilliant student. Eventually, in his teenage, he became a student of the very well-known scholar Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. And one day he had an argument with him. When asked about God, Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar replied that let us not talk about God because we cannot see him or understand him. Let us talk about something else. So young Kedarnath replied to this very powerful, well-known scholar. He said, my dear sir, if you have not seen God, or if you do not know God, then why have you written in our textbook that the absolute truth is formless and the absolute truth is without any form? It doesn't appear in this world in any form. Do you mean to say that God is so weak and powerless that he cannot appear in a personal form and that he cannot maintain that form eternally? Actually, God is a person, and we are his eternal parts and parcels, and we have an eternal relationship of love with him. That is bhakti. In this way, young Kedarnath began preaching to Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar. Of course, we do not know much about how Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar responded philosophically, but he still remained young Kedarnath's well-wisher. Soon, in the year that Calcutta University started in 1856, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was one of the first students who enrolled in the very first year of the university, along with many, many others who later on became very prominent in social life, especially the Tagore families, Gyanendranath Tagore and others. So he had very illustrious fellow students, at least from the material point of view. He shone in the university, and that was when he wrote the Poriate, The Britishers became very astonished to hear his grasp of the English language and literature. And he also began to study various other religions. He studied Christianity, he studied the Brahmo religion, he studied Islam, and in this way he mastered the various religious philosophies and became an expert in comparative religion. But nevertheless, his preference was always towards the Bhagavata philosophy, although at this time he still had not manifested very, very overtly. He began his travels soon after his education was over. Upon Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar's recommendation, he became a school teacher and later on a headmaster, even at the young age of 22. Later on, he accepted the government service under the British government, and he became the deputy magistrate at various places in Orissa, Bengal. Bengal at that time, of course, included present-day Bangladesh and even present-day Tripura. He also went to Tripura to serve the king for a while. The king practically became his disciple, and later on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually became the tutor for the son of the king of Tripura. Further on, he settled many disputes between the Brahmos and the Christians. The Brahmo Samaj had become very prominent at that time, led by Raja Ram Mohan Roy. They were mostly like an atheistic kind of cult that had come up. It had become very fashionable to be a follower of Raja Ram Mohan Roy in those days. And actually Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he preferred Christianity over the Brahmos, because at least, as he said, the Christians accept a personal God, whereas the Brahmos even denied that. In this way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur played like a mediator between the Brahmos and the Christians. And later on, even to the Brahmos, he engaged in many, many debates with the scholars amongst them. It was around the time when he became the deputy magistrate, or shortly before that, that his first wife died, and he married a second time. And this was the wife who was called Bhagavati Devi, who was the mother of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And at that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur developed the desire to research into the Vaishnava texts. He came to Calcutta from the place where he was posted and searched for a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. With great difficulty and after a long search, he found a copy of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, just one copy, with one publishing house, and he was very happy to study this great literature. And that was when he says there was the transformation, at least from the external point of view. He had now come into his Vaishnava element. And in the course of settling the dispute between the Brahmos and the Christians, he also at that time wrote his historic essay, The Bhagavata Theology and Precepts, which has been published since then as a small booklet. Very, very powerful booklet and exposition on Bhagavad philosophy. He also visited the home of Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. He continued to study deeply the books of the Vaishnavacharyas, and this intensified when he was transferred to Puri as the manager of the Jagannath temple there. He studied Jiva Goswami Shat Sandarbhas, Baladev Vidya Bhushan's Prameya Ratnavali and Stotra Ratnam. He studied Govinda Bhashya of Baladev Vidya Bhushan, and he continued to study the Srimad Bhagavat and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He also, of course, studied other books written by the previous acharyas, like Bhakti Ratnakar and so on. And this was the time when he set up many, many proper systems in the Jagannath temple. Things had come to a point of disarray in the Jagannath temple. As a very stern administrator and also very pure, he set right all the systems. And around that period also, there were many people who, from the upper sampradayas, and some were downright cheaters who were cheating the people. There was a man called Bishak Shena who claimed to be an avatar of Mahavishnu, and he had made a declaration that he would appear in his four-armed form as Mahavishnu. And the complaints came to the district collector called Ravenshaw. There is still a college called Ravenshaw College in Cuttack today. So he requested Bhakti Vinod Thakur that please go and settle this matter. Bhakti Vinod Thakur approached him. The yogi tried to flatter him and deceive him, but Bhakti Vinod Thakur was very strong. He took strong action against him and he put him in jail. The yogi tried to use his mystic powers. Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his family members became very grievously sick with fever, but Bhakti Vinod Thakur did not relent. And eventually, after a few days, the yogi died in the prison. Of course, that's a long pastime that is there. In this way, he also arrested many other pseudo-gurus and arrested them, and in this way tried to purify the whole region of Neelachal, especially Jagannath Puri, from all these rogues and scoundrels who were cheating the people at large. In Puri, he also began giving discourses on the Bhagavatam. He started a Bhagavat Samaj there, and many, many Vaishnavas in Puri would love to come and hear from his lotus mouth discourses on the Srimad Bhagavatam. At this time, his son, Bimala Prasad, who was later on to be known as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, had also become a very eloquent speaker on the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is said that Bhakti Vinod Thakur himself would also join the assembly of devotees to hear his own son speaking on the Bhagavata. He also started construction of the Bhakti Kuti, which is a house, and today, till today, the ISKCON center has, there is an ISKCON center there, right on, near Swargadwar, right in the bank on the beach, near the sea beach. We have our ISKCON temple there, and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Bhajan Kutir is also there close by. It was in Puri itself, during that earliest stint of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world. And the home in which Bhakti Vinod Thakur stayed, which had been rented, was the same place where he was born, and today that place still exists as one of the Gaudiya Mutts. And that was the time of the Rath Yatra, when young Bimala Prasad was just a baby, and the Rath Yatra was passing by. The Rath stopped outside his house, and the wife of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Bhagavati Devi, took the small child Bimala Prasad to the deities, and the garland fell down to offer blessings to this child. And at that time Bhakti Vinod Thakur realized that this child was very special and that he was the answer to his prayers. Being a government officer, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur traveled very widely. And his most significant achievement when he was transferred to Krishnanagar was that he discovered the birthplace or the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At the place called Kuliya, which is now present in Navadvip, as he one day went to the roof of his building to get some relief from the heat and to enjoy the cool summer breezes in the evening, he suddenly saw in the distance ahead an illuminated house in the place called Ballal Dighi. And upon going there, he heard from the elder citizens there that this was said to be the appearance place of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He did extensive research into various old documents and understood that indeed this was the place where Mahaprabhu actually appeared. And being overjoyed, he eventually, through the medium of Jagannath Das Babaji, had this verified. So to Bhakti Vinod Thakur actually goes the credit of making available to the whole world the appearance place, the Yoga Pitha of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He built a house in Godruma Dvipa, which he called Surabhi Kunja. And in this way, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur passed his time preaching, studying, serving the Lord in many wonderful ways, composing his voluminous works. He had an amazing schedule. He would barely sleep for a few hours every day, 1 or 2 hours at the most. He would rise practically at midnight, start writing his books. Around 4 o'clock in the morning, he would start chanting his japa again. And all day he was busy. He was such an expert magistrate that the British considered him indispensable. And they made a railway line that went right up to his house, Surabhi Kunja, in Godruma Dvipa. And therefore, he would just step out of his house and take the train to work. And he was such an efficient judge and magistrate that he would dispose of cases in a very just way and very efficiently in a very short time. So what took other judges and magistrates a very long time to do, he would do it in a very short time because of his purity. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur continued on in this way, traveling very widely. He was posted in many places. Time is short to describe the many, many pastimes and the travels of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. In 1908, he accepted the Babaji wish and began very intense Nirjan Bhajan in Bhakti Kuti. But it is interesting that he did not depart from this world in Jagannath Puri. Rather, he returned to Calcutta, to the place that he had constructed long ago called Bhakti Bhavan. And it was on this day, on this tithi, in the month of Bhadra, the Shukla tithi, Shukla Paksha, Trayodashi, that he departed for the spiritual world to enter into the midday pastimes of Radha Krishna at Radha Kund. This is his disappearance day. And he chose this day to disappear. It's also the disappearance day of Srila Gadadhar Pandit. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, being one of the foremost acharyas in our sampradaya, the inaugurators of the modern day preaching movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has this very, very special place. On the day of his disappearance, we can all pray at his lotus feet, that we may also be worthy followers in his lotus footprints and please him by being a small part of this preaching mission that today has manifested as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur ki jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Tirubhav Divas Mahotsav ki jai. Shri Gadadhar Pandit Tirubhav Divas ki jai. Gaur Premanande. So it's 9 o'clock, we will stop here. Would anyone like to make any comments or add anything? Ask any questions?
It is true that she spotted out the correct birthplace of Gauranga Prabhu.
Yes, as I mentioned, he was the one who actually identified the birthplace. I mentioned that earlier, that he saw a light in the illuminated house and he went there, inquired from the elder citizens there. They said this was the place. He did extensive research into so many old documents. And then he ascertained that this was indeed the place. And this was confirmed when he brought Jagannath Das Babaji, who was at that time a very, very old man. And he couldn't walk and he had to be carried in a basket. And when Jagannath Das Babaji was brought there at that point, Jagannath Das Babaji leaped into the air like a young man saying Hari Bol in confirmation of the fact that this was actually the original site. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the other Vaishnavas became overjoyed. And eventually, with the help of many Vaishnavas from Krishnanagar and Navadvip, he established the deities there of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. They had made some thatched huts there and set up the first temple over there. Okay, so thank you very much. We'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.